Would you pray with me? Father God, we are grateful for this morning. Though there has been many hiccups along the way, we trust that you knew today long before we got here. Lord, that our victory indeed is not in how well this morning goes. Our victory is in a good and right and glorious Savior who lived a perfect life, who died in our place, and in him we have joy this morning. So we come with tremendous adoration for you, your Son, and your Spirit. We come believing that you are Lord, that you are in control of this morning. You know what is best for us, and you certainly know how to make us well. So, Father, this morning, would you come and speak? Would you move in our hearts and our lives? Would you do a work that only you can do? Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters across the valley, many churches doing exactly what we are doing. We pray for their pastors, Lord, as it becomes tiresome over time. It becomes difficult over time to maintain this type of format. But we pray that you would give those pastors boldness, give them courage, give them rest throughout the week, and not just a physical rest, but a rest in you, knowing that you are a God who loves the church far more than we ever could. So will you be with those churches that are opening your word this morning? Might you encourage them and strengthen them this morning? Father, we now ask that you would come and that you would speak to us. Help us to love your wisdom more than our own wisdom. Help the truths that we uncover this morning to be more glorious than our own opinions, and help our hearts and our minds to move towards obedience of your truth. Father, I pray that even now you would clear my thoughts as they are swimming in so many different directions of the chaos of this morning. Would you quiet my own soul? Would you help me to rest in you and your word this morning? So, Father, it is in your glorious name that we pray. Amen. Well, thank you for your patience, and I cannot tell you how grateful I am for the many that have been helping out in various ways over the last couple of weeks. So, this morning, we're going to continue our series in Proverbs. But before I do that, remember that famous words in a line of poetry that has stuck with us for many years. And in the moment I read it, you're going to remember it. Two roads diverge in a yellow wood. And sorry, I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood. Well, those famous lines describe well choices. Now, it would be great to travel both roads, but one simply cannot. Well, this is helpful for us to consider as we journey together through the book of Proverbs. We have two choices. We heed the wisdom that is in Proverbs, or we listen to another's wisdom. Whether it's your own thinking or the enticing appeals from others, either way, two paths emerge before us, and sorry, we cannot travel both. So let us stand long before them and ponder their outcomes. This is exactly what Proverbs does. It forces us to consider the choice, wisdom or folly. Now, it does this by using words such as paths or sometimes the word roads. But the most intriguing way that it plays out this choice that we are faced with is through personifying wisdom and folly with a lady, with a woman that is referred to as Lady Wisdom, Woman Wisdom, or Lady Folly. Now, considering our context, which is a father giving his son instructions, well, the personification of two choices being a woman is understandable. The young man will encounter wisdom and folly along his journey of life, and both of them will be very, very enticing. Both of them will have a tremendous amount of influence. So it naturally behooves the father to put that influence into the context of a woman for his son. Women have influence on men. There's no other way around it. I mean, it's Mother's Day after all. We take this day to celebrate the women in our lives because they have tremendous influence. Well, this is especially true for males. And if you don't believe me, just hang around a college campus for a few moments and watch how young men change their tones, their demeanor, and they start to show off when a young lady of interest walks by. It's funny, really, but it's true. The context of father-son is why we have this particular personification, but don't let it lose its effect if you're an older male or if you are a woman. It still plays true even in our lives. But the context is determining this particular and helpful personification for this son. Well, first up is Lady Wisdom. She by far has the most predominant voice with about 60 plus verses given to her speech, as opposed to only 6 verses given to Lady Folly. Just the vast amount of space that she is given tells us she has way more to offer, that she is the one deserving of the sun, and we could say our attention. So let's examine, kind of in a summary fashion, her speech. Because Lady Wisdom speaks in chapter 1, verses 20 through 33, and then she speaks again in all of chapter 8. The entire chapter is devoted to her speaking. It actually carries over into chapter 9, all the way down to verse 12. She speaks often at the beginning. And we're going to explore for just a few moments the commonality between all these places that she speaks, to try to see who is this Lady Wisdom. We're going to look at 8 things. 1, she calls aloud. Listen to verses 20 and 21 in chapter 1. Wisdom cries aloud in the street, in the market. She raises her voice at the head of the noisy street. She cries out at the entrance of the city gates. She speaks. She speaks here again in chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, and then again in chapter 9, 3. It says, it reminds us, even in those locations, that she cries aloud. You see, Lady Wisdom is not afraid to speak up and make her voice heard. And we're grateful that Wisdom does not sit quietly in the corner hoping that you will find her. No, she speaks. This alone is something for you and the son to celebrate, that we all have a chance to hear, all can actually listen, because her voice calls out. It does not leave us in the dark. She's saying something. She does not look upon you or me and rejoice at our ignorance, but no, she speaks so we can hear. And she does that from high places at the entrance of the city. She's there in the busyness, in a place of predominance, to make her voice heard. She is valuable. She goes to the high places. Once again, she does not shrink back, but she can be found, and she makes herself visible. One cannot make the excuse that wisdom could not be found. She was and is in the high, visible place, the entrance of the city. Look, and she can indeed, and she will be found if you would simply try. You see, we get ourselves into a heap of trouble when we give such little effort at seeking wisdom. You know, Proverbs gives a lot of attention to wise counsel, and not only to the wise counsel, but actually seeking it out. Well, that's for another day, but the point is this: she can be found if you would simply seek. Well, thirdly, she cries aloud. She's in predominant places, that she makes her call to the simple one. Listen as I continue to read in chapter 1, verse 22. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn in my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. So here in chapter 1, these verses, she calls to the simple ones. In chapter 8, verses 5 and 6, the same thing. She's calling again to the simple ones. Chapter 9, verses 4 through 6, the same thing. She's calling out towards these simple ones. Now, you have to understand, this is not a degrading term, but one that indicates that our thinking needs help, that our understanding must always grow and we must always be seeking more insight. You see, Lady Wisdom, well, she's for the one who seeks more knowledge to have a better skill at life. That's wisdom. And for the Christian to have a better skill at bringing attention to God by the way we live. Brothers and sisters, and those who might have stumbled upon our page, this is an ongoing process. Because later on, Lady Wisdom indicates that those who are already wise will also profit from her calling out as well. Chapter 9, verse 9, listen to this. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. We are constant learners as long as we have breath in our lungs. And Lady Wisdom is for the wise. The moment we think we have arrived, we lose wisdom. And when we lose wisdom, there are consequences. If we reject wisdom and we don't listen to wisdom, there are consequences, but there are benefits if we do listen. Which brings us to our fourth thing that we need to know about Lady Wisdom, that if you do or don't listen, there are results on both sides. Chapter 1, 24 through 32, chapter 9, 7 through 12, that highlights the benefits. Chapter 1 highlights if you don't listen. Because let's be honest, to not heed her voice, it has consequences. There is no other way around it. And she, Wisdom, she loves us too much to not tell us that if we don't listen, that there are consequences. She loves us too much to not put before us the consequences if we don't listen. She made so plain in chapter 1, verses 24 through 32, that if we don't listen, that is not her fault. She was there. She's available. She wants to teach and instruct us. When one falls for lack of wisdom, lack of seeking understanding, wisdom will stand all the more tall and be so plainly seen as the right way, as the way towards life. Chapter 1, verse 32 says, "For the simple are killed by their turning away." Well, that is staggering and a ridiculous result when she is there calling us forward to life. And the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. Now, if you're like me, perhaps you don't like at times for someone to shoot straight. But when someone does, willingly taking the step, knowing that it's going to upset us, when they willingly take the step to tell us the truth, to put before us the end result of our actions, isn't that far more loving than anything we could experience? See, Lady Wisdom cares too much for us that she's willing to breach the hard topic. That if you don't listen, well, there's grave consequences. Chapter 8, verses 35 through 36, pick up the same thing. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. Though she can be found, many will fail to find her. Well, you either listen or you don't. One has consequences, one has benefits. But why should we listen to Lady Wisdom? What makes her so special? Well, because she is trustworthy. Chapter 8, verses 7 through 21, a large section, a full gamut of the help that she provides as she calls all to follow her because she is trustworthy. Listen to verses 6 to 11 in chapter 8. Just listen to this. Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right. From my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are all straight to him who understands and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instructions instead of silver and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels. And all that find it may desire cannot compare with her. You see, she speaks what is right. Her words are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in her words. Isn't that wonderful? There's nothing twisted or crooked in her words. They are straightforward. There is no hidden motive in her speech to us, other than she has righteousness on her mind. She has our best interests in mind. And she calls us towards that. Oh, brothers and sisters, this is better than jewels. It's more precious than gold and silver. And it doesn't take us long to understand how valuable those items are. Wisdom, Lady Wisdom, to find her is of greater worth. So seek it, her wisdom, more. As if that's not enough to draw us towards wisdom. She tells us that she has been with the Lord from the beginning. There's this interesting kind of unexpected turn in chapter 8, verses 22 through 31. That there's this unique criteria that wisdom, Lady Wisdom, that she has, that she can place on her resume, if you will. She was there at creation, and God used her to make the world. Wisdom stood at creation, and God used it to make all that we enjoy, all that we see around us. Wisdom is there. It was used to make it. She was before. That word before is repeated multiple times in that section. She was before, before all things. Wisdom was there, and she is used to create. God exercised wisdom in forming the world around us. So therefore, her credentials are staggering. You see, you cannot claim that. You could not have determined where the waters should begin and end, where mountains should be formed, where forests should grow. You see, God uses wisdom, and God used wisdom. He knows her best, so seek her in him. Oh, he knows her well. Seek her in him. The seventh thing we need to know about wisdom, Lady Wisdom, is that she gives life. Chapter 1, verse 33, chapter 8, 32 through 36, chapter 9, verse 6, remind us that she gives life. There are many, many benefits to wisdom, but the one that is most celebrated is life. Listen to chapter 8, verses 32 through 35. And now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. See, they're eager. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. Chapter 9, verse 6. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. Oh, Lady Wisdom is special indeed. And the last thing we need to know about Lady Wisdom is that she invites us in to a choice meal. Listen to these verses in chapter 9, 1 through 6. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here to him who lacks sense, she says. Come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. One thing we must know about Lady Wisdom is that she puts out an invitation that she can actually deliver on. Her house is well built, and she wants to share it with others so that we, you, might enjoy. Its seven pillars symbolically mean perfection. Her home is perfect, and it is ready to receive those who are willing to enter. You see, she's not blowing smoke. She means what she says, and she can provide what she promises. A choice and glorious meal of life. Well, that's Lady Wisdom. But there is another loud voice that will try to take our attention, that will try to take the sun's attention. Listen as I read Lady Folly's speech. I want you to hear the similarities, but yet the vast differences. Chapter 9, verses 13 through 18. The woman Folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat at the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. Lady Wisdom speaks. Or actually here, Lady Folly speaks. We notice that she also calls aloud. From noisy streets, from high places. You see, Lady Folly is cunning, and she takes her seat right by Wisdom in the predominant places. You see, just because something is in a high place does not necessarily make it wise. Just because something sounds smooth and slick and is well articulated does not mean that it is wise. Well, this is helpful for the son to know. This is helpful for us to know. Lady Folly sits right beside Lady Wisdom, crying aloud, trying to draw us in. You see, we have to do our work. We have to pay attention to what we're listening to. Wisdom and Folly both cry aloud in the noisy streets from high places, but they are saying very, very, very different things. Why? Well, Lady Folly is seductive, and she knows nothing. She's ignorant of life's ways. She does not have anything else to draw in the sun but seduction. What a stark contrast to all the verses of Lady Wisdom. There are so many verses devoted to Lady Wisdom. What a contrast. See, Lady Wisdom knows a lot. The entire chapter 8 is all that she is and offers and the benefits of listening to her. You see, Lady Wisdom puts forth such a compelling argument full of knowledge, understanding, and insight. You see, Folly only has seduction to you, as we just read in verse 17. You see, Lady Wisdom has built a house, made a choice meal, mixed with the best wines. All the while, Lady Folly sits and calls out to the simple ones. Her target is the same. Lady Folly speaks to the very same people Lady Wisdom calls to, but they lack sense. And Though the offer of Lady Folly is so much less than Lady Wisdom, some indeed are drawn in by her seduction. She has to distract them. She knows nothing. She has to make them turn around. And when they do, Lady Folly plays her only card, seduction. Verse 17 says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Though the content of her offering is meager, only water and bread as opposed to a fine meal with Lady Wisdom, she targets the simple ones, allure to sin. She digs into the weak parts of the flesh, and she exploits them. It is amazing how much less she offers in substance. But where it lacks substance, it gives a whole bunch of seduction. As one scholar put it this way, Folly compensates with the attraction of the secret and the hidden, of the unusual and the strange. We are so easily pulled to the forbidden. The allure of what could be is so intoxicating. There is much more than just simple water and bread at play, but the evil activity to acquire them. There are hints of all kind of sin in this simple, seductive proverb that she throws out. Adultery and stealing, just to name a few. She pulls towards our sinful passions, giving us only half truths. Sure, sin is pleasant for a moment, but she fails to mention that the end result is death. Verse 18 says, but he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests, Lady Folly's guests, are in the depths of Sheol. The simple one does not realize that just beyond the door of Lady Folly's house is death. everyone who walks in that door dies. Her guests are in the depths of Sheol. This is the way the Old Testament often refers to the grave, but it is much, much more than a six-foot hole that a lifeless body lays in. As one scholar said about Sheol, here's what he said: this grave symbolizes eternal realities that transcend their physical space. Meaning what? Meaning there is more than just a physical death one experiences in Lady Folly's home. No, there is a greater death, a spiritual one. Sheol is often used to refer to a place of no return, a place one cannot come back to experience salvation. They are removed from this life in such a way as not to be numbered among the saved. You see, the consequences of following Lady Folly are graver than one probably realizes at first. To neglect, as Proverbs has made so plain, God's wisdom. And that is exactly what's being played out in Lady Wisdom. This is God's wisdom, as opposed to all things against God, all idols promising things, all seductive sin promising things. See, they are in stark contrast here. To neglect God's wisdom ultimately means eternal separation from Him. To reject God's wisdom is more than just a few bumps along the way of poor choices, but there are greater, more serious consequences captured here in the word Sheol, or we could say hell. Jesus, being wisdom Himself, He lays before us the same type of choice in Matthew 7, 13 through 14. Remember this? Perhaps this is coming to mind as we're talking about this. Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. You see, Jesus, being wisdom Himself, plays out the same two paths. And says one leads to death and one leads to life. This is the stark, biggest contrast between Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly. But there's more than just physical death in the end, but a spiritual separation from God. You see, there is no comparison between the two. The jury is already back. It has weighed all the options, and Lady Wisdom has much, much, much more to offer to help us, to sustain us, to guide us, to protect us, and give us great joy. We arrive at the beginning again, standing at the fork in the road, two paths before us. Lady Wisdom calls down one path. She calls down from that path to her home of security and life, while Lady Folly calls through seduction and half-truths down her path to a doorway that leads to death. It would be unwise for me this morning to not remind us that as we come to this personification in Proverbs, the design of it is to put before us two paths and to press into the reality that we have a choice, to press before us that there are two paths that emerge before us as we unpack God's word. And sorry, but we cannot travel both. Let us stand long before them and ponder their outcomes. You see, just as Jesus sat before those people and talked about the eternal reality of that through Him is salvation, that in Him is God's wisdom, to reject that wisdom is to end down the path of death. Now, this morning, If you have stumbled upon our page and perhaps you have heard of Christ and God, infrequently or maybe a lot, I have to let you know that there is before us two paths. God's wisdom that saves, redeems, gives us life. Our folly that leads to death. And this morning, I wish that we were in each other's presence so that we could sit and chat and talk about this forever. Would you please make use of that connection card? Would you please reach out to us if you want to know more about God's wisdom that sings so clearly in His Son, who uses the same technique that Proverbs uses to press into us, to force us to consider our ways, and ultimately, in the glorious fashion, to consider God's way. You know, His wisdom tells us that you and I, we stand and we're incapable of making that choice well. So He sent His Son, Jesus, who walked the path of God's wisdom in perfection. And without sin, walked the path that you and I cannot walk. And as we sang earlier today, overcame death, overcame sin so that we could have life. Oh, it is in Christ that we have life. It is in Christ that we walk the path of wisdom. For those of us who have walked with Christ for a while, well, this is a stark reminder to us to seek wisdom. You know why you should seek wisdom? Because she can be found. You lack wisdom because you don't ask. You don't seek. Or worse, you're not willing to surrender to it. One thing that is clear is that Lady Wisdom can be found. God's word is His wisdom. It can be found. So seek it. Look for it. Listen to her voice. Grow more willing to humbly surrender to God's wisdom. Let us pray. Father God, I often in these moments feel so inadequate to unpack the truths of your scripture. And in these few moments, the tone of the text pushes us towards considering your ways as opposed to our ways full of folly. So I pray, Lord, that you've taken this meager effort and you've used it to draw us into you. Perhaps you've used it to call people towards salvation through faith and repentance in Jesus. You have granted us an incredible amount of wisdom in your Son. And Father, that is the path, that is the gate that we must walk, is in faith and repentance. Lord, trusting Him for the salvation of our souls. And Lord, it never ceases to trust Him more as we live our life in such a way to reflect your gloriousness to the world around us. So Father, might you use us, might you encourage us, might you take Proverbs and work in our hearts and make us a people who have great amount of maturity. So, Father, it is in your holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you for hanging in there with us today at the beginning with the various difficulties. I trust that the Lord has encouraged you. I trust that you've heard the weight of Proverbs. It is wise for us at the outset to remind ourselves that two paths emerge before us. And sorry, but we cannot travel both. Let us stand long before them and ponder their outcomes and praise the Lord Jesus has walked the path for us. I hope that you have a wonderful Sunday, and I pray and hope that you will continue to talk with your family about God's word. Grace and peace.